What is going on, man? It's your boy Crimson. Metal Gear Solid. MGS. Particularly MGS 1 and 3, or MGS Peace Walker, in particular. That one was my favorite Metal Gear Solid of all fucking time. And the only way to play Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops now is to get a copy of the PlayStation Portable, or, you know, the Legacy Pack for PS3, and get a PS3 and play it that way. You know what I loved most about Metal Gear Solid? It was the humanization of the enemy. You see, in those video games, there was a clear distinction between right and wrong, good and evil, you know, enemy versus ally. As a kid, it kind of modeled what it was like to be humane. Even till this day, you know, when I get into a fight, after I'm done fighting, or, you know, after the other person's kind of given up, I always ask them, like, why? Why did you try to fight me? And it always resorts to the same argument, right? Because I was upset. Because you pissed me off, because you hurt my feelings, because it was always something emotional. And people who can't control their emotions usually are the first ones to swing. They usually swing like shit, and they usually fight like shit. They have no determination behind their fight. It's just pure, raw emotion that's backing their punch. No intention of defense, no intention of living, or excuse me, no intention of, not like, no thought of living. Just getting out their raw emotions. And it's funny because I never have to fucking swing. Or that's not true. I've had to swing a couple times. But I always tell my opponent to, like, throw the first punch. Usually it lands and it's like, it doesn't really hurt that bad. And then I look at him and I'm like, okay, now it's my turn. And that's exactly when they fucking cripple. It's like what David Goggins said, taking someone's soul. Now, humanization for me started with the movie called Red Dawn. You know exactly which one I'm talking about. Don't tell me which one. There was a Cuban commander, El Comandante, I believe is what they called him. And he was fighting, obviously, for the Soviets. And he was fighting on, you know, both sides. Or, excuse me, for the Soviets and the Cubans. And one thing that I loved about that movie was towards the end when he's riding towards his wife, asking, why the fuck am I here in this country that we have no business doing here? You know, we've captured all these civilians that aren't rebel fighters at all. They're just farmers. They're just people like you and me. And these wolverines that have destroyed, you know, many of our people have a vigorous fight, a fight in them that can only be admired. It's like the movie humanized him for that split second. And he talks about how much he missed his wife and how he cared so much to hold her tenderly. It made me fucking love that scene. And I realized that beneath all that ideology, beneath all those principles and values and ethics, beneath all that tissue, that soft tissue, the blood, is just a tender, fragile person. And all that is just defense. You know, it's like some of the hardest motherfucking bosses in that game were more human than I'll ever be. Maybe. I haven't really seen who I am underneath. I haven't really gone that deep. some of those people were fighting, you know, some of the enemies were fighting for, you know, the vengeance of their villages being burnt down, or, you know, because the main character, you know, adopted them into this renegade ragtag group of, you know, this unit. Showed them what it is to be courageous in the you know, fear, you know, in the heart of absolute darkness. You know, when their entire families deserted them, he was, you know, there's only one person that was there to take them in as a father and train them properly. And so, you know, this video game meant a lot to me. And I took a lot away from it. A lot more than more people would care to in life. Usually people play a game and they just move on. Here's the thing. I've been thinking about this for some time and it's made me kind of scared now. And the idea of why the Civil War has already started, because, and everyone else disagrees, is because they still see war as kinetic. One side versus the other. But what if it doesn't have to go that route? What if they used a force multiplier? Propaganda. What if they used a force multiplier in terms of popularity? As a matter of fact, what was it? Lord of War, I believe, with Nicolas Cage and this other actor. He said, a bullet from a 9-year-old is just as effective as a bullet from a 39-year-old. Often even more effective. And then the scene pans, or cuts, the shot cuts to these kids, these innocent kids holding AKs, and it fucked with my head. Nah, it's making me emotional. It's making me emotional because I think about, well, you already know where I'm going with this. You're smart enough to understand. You see, our government is pushing this because they know that our kids, they don't have a home to go to. The family unit is destroyed in some, and if not most, sectors. And so, because of this, right? Look, man, I was a special case. My dad wasn't there all the time. My dad was a piece of shit, but at least he was there. At least he fucking, you know, he might have beaten me a little too fucking much, but at least he fucking straightened me out. I'm beginning to see that. He beat the shit out of my mom. But then again, you know, now I'm looking at women and I'm looking at them at a different light. I don't quite trust my mom. I love her, but I don't trust her. Not after the shit she pulled. So I'm in this thing realizing that this war is probably never going to be kinetic. What they realize is that they can force multiply through your kids, through your relatives, your aunts, your uncles. They're all going to, they're all going to turn on you. Not all of them. Obviously, the ones that you know are going to be different from some other ones, but it's already started. They've already given themselves the vaccines and boasted about it for the sake of the idea of being a hero. They have no idea what being a hero is. Their concept of being a hero is no different from the concept that I had as a kid. And through that ideology, they're going to wish upon you. They're going to want from you their pound of believable flesh. This government is going to paint you as white supremacists and bigots and phobes and all this other shit, xenophobes. They're going to paint you to be the villain. It's already fucking started. And all they have to do is just unleash their people onto you. The ultimate spy network within your home. Can you trust your spouse when her kids are on the line? And if her kids are going to school and getting educated in this shit, do you really think that your wife is gonna believe you? Give you the head of the household when your kids are more plugged into the wife's understanding of what reality is? A school system that has been outdated since fuck knows when, where the only thing they do is just re-edit the same old bullshit in different versions just so that they can make a couple extra bucks off of the school systems, textbooks. I think, what was it? It was like 15 grand for a digital textbooks program. And I was like, 15 fucking grand for digital textbooks? I mean, men, there's a reason why I fucking write everything down now. There's a reason why I fucking only write letters now. I stopped doing the whole fucking email thing. I just want to be left the fuck alone, and it seems like this world is constantly trying to close in. This war is never going to go kinetic. I need you to understand that. They're going to war with your mind. That is the... If they can break your mind... And anybody knows this. If they can break your mind, that they can break you. And it starts with your kids. It's always been that way. That is the ultimate fighting force. Think about it this way. Propaganda from a 9-year-old is as effective and sometimes even more effective than propaganda from a 39-year-old. How about that? Does that sink in yet? When California decided, hey, we're going to try to lower the age of consent to 13, everyone lost their fucking minds. Thank God there was enough sense there to say, what the fuck are you doing? And the guy who tried to promote it and pass it, well, you already know what happened to him. But California is not afraid. Is not afraid of fucking inching its way there, and they'll play the long game. I've learned this through my years of living in that shit state. First, what they did was they got rid of the programs underneath the guise of budgeting, right? And this is what I've noticed about California. They'll bring in a Republican to balance out the books, and then they'll bring in a Democrat to destroy it again. And what it does is it creates a false sense of security for that state. they'll long for the day that everything was in perfect balance. And through that budgeting, what they'll do is they'll start cutting programs that are very necessary for the growth of the populace. I've seen this. I've fucking seen it firsthand. They got rid of the arts program. They got rid of the after-school programs. They got rid of the. They were almost getting rid of the drama programs at our school because they couldn't afford for, you know, they couldn't afford them for the budgets. Band was almost getting canceled. Archery was almost getting canceled. The clubs, everything was self-funded at one point by the community. Drive after drive. It almost seemed like every fucking weekend there was a drive until finally, come to find out that that school that I used to go to, it only ha like it has instead of having a drive like once a year, twice a year for the next year's budget, it's every weekend now. Every weekend you come on a Saturday morning or a Saturday afternoon, and it gives you a chance to communicate with the teachers. It gives you a chance to, you know, see your kids' progress, and you get to buy a little something on the way out, a little Twinkie, a little donut, a little cupcake. And then that money goes straight to towards the school funds, essentially more or less making it a community-based academy, more or less. It gets parents more involved into saying like, yeah, I disagree with this or I agree with this. Keeps a tighter lid on things. But as always, there's always going to be some sort of fucking loophole. There's always going to be something for the school to say, yeah, you know what? You guys are getting a little too involved. We're going to figure out a way how to like leave certain information out. It's way more nuanced than I'm making it out to seem. Trust me, I know that. But it stands to reason that if they can use the public school system as a base for promoting propaganda, the way that they use the television and the radio and the newspaper, we're done. We're done. And for those of us who continue to allow this shit to happen, now for you men who have no access to your kids, your hands are tied. I see that. But what I would recommend is getting involved with that school somehow. Let's say that your kids are going to a school in Florida and you live in Texas. I'm not asking you to drive way the fuck out there, but Jesus Christ, the amount of time that it took you to go get that beer and go run it up at the counter and then drive home and drink it is the same amount of time and effort, maybe even less, to write a fucking letter to that school and say, I would like to get a pamphlet of what is going on at that school, and I would like to have a conference with the principal and say such and such, right? I mean, fuck, I did it, and I don't even have kids. And I was doing the fucking David Goggins shit, so there's no excuse. Or how about just getting involved with any school system nearby and say, like, hey, I would like to get a copy of whatever programs that you guys are having. And if they start asking for inquiries, it's like, is this not a public school? I'd care to know what exactly is being taught at this school. They're not without fucking boundaries. And then every time they try to reinforce and reinstill, you know, their a boundary or whatever, it's like, just remind them, they're a public fucking school. Everyone has access to that. They have no access to the school, like to the classrooms with, you know, during school hours, but you do have access to the principal and you do have access to that information. Don't let them change your mind. Don't let them discourage you. As a matter of fact, it's a great way to building a backbone towards women, because 90% of those chicks, you know, they fucking feel like they're office dicks. Or how about this? You don't even need to go in there with muscle. Simple finesse. Brushing your teeth and combing your hair goes a long fucking way, especially in a place where they've never seen a guy before. And believe it or not, male principals are fucking more than elated to see another male, you know, walk the campus and just be inquisitive in terms of the benefit and the growth of their community through that beautiful public school. I'm telling you. You can finesse these people. They're dumb. I shouldn't say that out loud. The cunt upstairs is a teacher. dude. I just looked at this picture again. Metal Gear Solid. Tactical espionage action. I think my favorite boss out of all of them had to have been... It wasn't the first Psycho Mantis fight. It was the Psycho Mantis fight from Praying Mantis, I think is what it was. Oh, no. I can't remember, man. It was the Metal Gear Solid villain who had puppets dangling from its limbs, and it mimicked Psycho Mantis's power. And the only way that it could do that was through the Fox Dye program that was enhanced. It was like a genetic code that was injected, and it was like DRNA style technology, and that particular monster could control you through mind, psychosis, and telepathy, like radio waves, radio frequencies. All I had to do was just turn on a certain frequency, and it would change the chemicals in your system to either create fight or flight or absolute terror. Fuck, dude, that game was so rad. I fucking wish I could play it again. Yeah. It made me man, sorry. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and the reason why I went on this enormous rant is because it's starting to bother me that everyone thinks that the Civil War hasn't started. The Civil War hasn't started. Look at how many of these transgender people are coming out now, being expelled from schools, being fired, being pointed out. Now they're going on shootings, mass shootings. It's a program. It's designed to allow the participant to emit violence in their own way. It's never going to be... It's never going to be a kinetic war. And instead of attacking you directly, what I've noticed about liberals is that they will never attack you directly. They'll wait until your back is turned. They'll fight against your church gatherings. They'll pass laws. They'll do everything other than go to the very church that you go to and address you. They'll do everything underhanded. So is it any wonder why there's so many mass shootings and school shootings? It's because they're trying to target your fucking kids. And guess what? Those kids that got shot, they're just cannon fodder. They're a part of the, it's no big loss to the fucking government. Do you want to know why? It's no loss to the government? It's because they're the one educating them. What they're going to do is they're going to use them as sacrosanct? That's not the right word. What did they do to Jesus Christ? They fucking used him as a martyr. They're going to use them as a martyr to fucking propel their agenda to get rid of your fucking firearms. Everybody says over my cold dead hands, but what happens when you're at fucking work and they break into your home and take your guns then? You never thought of that, did you? They have full access to your home. All they gotta do is just wait until you're gone. Oh, it's in a safe. Oh, what, they can't just take that shit with them? Oh, it's underground and they can't seize your home? I hear this shit all the fucking time. Guys think they're fucking quick. They think they're fucking smart. And every time I pose all these problems and prospects and I'm like, what if scenarios? People laugh at me. They think that I'm fucking crazy. It'll never happen. No, dude. I've seen it fucking happen. If a fucking group of gang members can come inside my uncle's home, jack all this shit when he's gone, what makes you think that was illegal? What makes you think that the fucking FBI or the NSA or whoever the fuck, the Alphabet Agency can't come inside your fucking home and do it legally? Because some fucking cunt next door, you already know that they can create false documents and just say, hey, we got this letter in the mail from your neighbor apparently before she moved out, and it says here that the reason why she moved out was because she was afraid, of her safety. It says you were saying some things about the government that probably shouldn't have been said. Yeah, so we're gonna pass this red gun. We're gonna use exhibit this red flag gun law. We're gonna confiscate your firearms until we deemed you worthy enough to, total fucking bullshit. Everybody's on board with that shit, the red flag gun laws. Get the fuck out of here. That is a clear violation of your Second Amendment rights. Doesn't matter if you are fucking schizo. I know people that are schizophrenic that don't fucking shoot people. I don't know what to tell you, man. I just saw this video where it says that black women are there's a 50% range of women that are actually or increase. A 50% increase in women, black women in particular, that have diagnoses of mental disorders, and it's growing ever steadily. This was actually on Manosphere Highlights Daily. That there's an increase in mental instability within women, and it's because the workload is getting harder and they're being asked of more than they can produce. And here's the thing. If you can ask somebody a reasonable thing to do, I've seen this because it's happened to me. When I was in construction, my boss would tell me, "Hey, you're pretty strong, right?" And I'd look at him, I'm like, "Well, yeah, like that's not the problem." He's like, "Okay, good. I need your help." And then he'd fucking point at a huge ass fucking trailer. Enormous fucking trailer full of fucking drywall. "All right, I need you to put that underneath, over there." And it's like this tiny little crawl space. This enormous trailer full of fuck. And I'm looking at him like, what the fuck? And I tell him, like, how the fuck do you expect me to stack all that in there? And he's like, oh no, not just in there, upstairs too. And I'm like, upstairs where? And then he fucking shows me another small crawl space. It'll fit, trust me, I did the measurements. Yeah, I spent all fucking day offloading a trailer full of fucking drywall in Beverly Hills. In the middle of the fucking day, from 6 a.m. fuck, when was it? Till like 5 in the afternoon when I finished. And I remember one of the guys, because I fucked up. I did downstairs first, right? I fucking loaded downstairs first. And he goes, "You fucked up, dude." And I go, "Why?" And he goes, "You almost done?" And I'm like, "Well, with the downstairs, did you finish the upstairs?" "No, that hasn't been touched yet." "You should have done that first, because now you're going to be too tired to fucking go upstairs." And I didn't think about that. And I was like, fuck. And he goes, "Hey, man," he asked us not to help you, "but I'm just giving you that advice for next time." So I learned my lesson. Do the hard shit first. God damn, those were some good ass days. That's what gave me my conservative mentality. But my point is that when you can pressure somebody with something seemingly reasonable and logical, you will get them to break over the workload, not over the favor itself, over the workload. And if you keep asking these women to do more and do more and do more and do more, they're gonna fucking snap. They're like little flowers. Like little dandelions. It's just, like, the more I accept a woman's nature, and I see this boss-ass bitch mentality, I think it's so adorable now. They're so cute, because they really do believe that they're fucking indestructible. It's like, fuck, I remember being six.
I remember my first beer.
Oktoberfest reference. But I just, I just remember having that mentality, that indestructible mentality. It wasn't until I moved. Oh no, I was homeless and I almost died of COVID. And I realized, like, fuck, dude, I'm stronger than I believed. But that sense of humanity always stayed with me. And now it's like I safeguard it. It's like, fuck, dude, if you're going to keep me from breathing tomorrow to see the next sunrise, fuck you. You're going. You got to go. You got to go. It's like what Hammer said. Every day above dirt is a fucking blessing. And guess what, man? Even though the world is shit right now, the fact that I get to make these shit videos, upload them, and share them with you guys, it really does mean more to me than you guys would ever imagine. But the fight has started, man, and we're miles late to the party. Fuck minutes. Everybody says, you know, what was it? The nigga minute. Oh, I've been hanging out for a minute, and it's usually just like it means a long time. Okay, well we're well past that. We're leagues behind. Miles behind. We've arrived and we're fucked. So, it would be in our best interest to fix, unfuck this shit. I don't know, man. Everyone says it's too late, but trust me when I say this, I've been in worse situations and it's never too late. It's never too late to turn the ship around. We're going to hit. We're going to clash. We're going to fuck this up. But to unfuck the situation sometimes requires a little bit of a bump. Goddamn, speaking of bumps, I remember, not cocaine, you fuck. I just remember, like, one time I was waking up and I was about to collide with an aero board. For those of you who don't know what an aero board is, it's a device that's used in traffic to basically point traffic to another direction. Those things are fucking huge. So I'm noticing this big fucking orange aero board, like, just blinking at me. And I panicked. And I realized that I didn't have enough inertia. I don't know how to explain it. I didn't have enough turning radius because I was, you know, I had turned all the way with both hands, stupidly. And, I didn't have enough turning radius, and I was all the way locked into, like, my wrist was touching my thighs, and I realized I was fucked. So what I did was I used the bump from the guardrail to barely make it out of, like, barely avoid the aero board back into freeway. I had fallen asleep behind the wheel because it was like I had gone 23 hours without sleep, and I was tired, and I had just started a cycle, my first cycle of testosterone, so I was fucking dead tired. By the way, for those of you wondering, when you start your cycle of testosterone, your body is gonna tell you it's time to go to bed now, and there's no negotiating. We're going to fucking bed. We don't give a fuck what you're doing, where you're at. You're going to sleep. So I was fighting that, And yeah, that almost fucked me. Any case, bump into the guardrail, barely make it out. That taught me a lesson. Stop fucking burning the candle at both ends. Can't, like, dude, all those ideas of Batman just suddenly, like, fuck, dude. I'll never be fucking Batman. Any case, I would tell you to prepare, but you got to prepare in a different way now. You got to come, you got to start learning. Period. Guard your heart.